All right, we're continuing here in the book of Colossians, and I told y'all when I started this that I'm going to try to teach and preach, and so we're going to kind of go through verse by verse, but then I will take a few Wednesday nights and kind of deal with a certain subject within the verses that might have a little bit more of a spiritual application. Scripture is given to us for doctrinal, historical, and spiritual application. And all Scripture can be applied in those three ways, historical, spiritual, and doctrinal application. So we're going to try to look at those things through here. Colossians is a book that is written to the church. Paul the Apostle, he's our apostle, wrote this book. And so the entire book doctrinally applies to the church. But within the teaching and within the doctrine that we find, there's some things that can be applied even spiritually to our lives to help us to be a better steward of God's Word and to be more faithful Christians and followers of Christ. And so we're going to look at something tonight along those lines. So the book of Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read down through verse number 3, and then we'll continue with our study tonight. Does everybody have the most updated papers? Does anybody need them? I think we have a few more left up here. Did anybody not have the handout we gave last week? All right, did anybody do the homework? Couple people. Anybody not do the homework? After all that last week. All right. Well, so at some point before we finish chapter one, we'll run down the homework so Sister Lynn can catch up. So, all right. Colossians chapter one, verse number one. The Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And so we began to look at that last week and looked at the two key memory verses. Did anybody try to memorize those verses last week? Amen. Try to memorize verses. There's two for you to try to memorize that'll be good for you. All right, so we start off there in verse number 1, and Paul's talking about Timothy, one of his first converts, and we'll get a little more into him later, and also about praying. He's wanting to, he's always praying for these folks, and we ought always to pray one for another, and we might look at that a little bit more in the next couple Wednesdays also. Something to note in these first few verses, I told you that there was 22 words in the book of Colossians that are only mentioned one time in the King James Bible. And in verse number 2 is the first one. It's the word Colossae. So the word Colossae with a capital C there is the first time and the only time that word is mentioned in the King James Bible. I just finished up today the Bible reading plan for next year. I'm going to be proofreading it. But I just finished it up. And every answer to the daily questions is either a word that is only mentioned one time in the King James Bible, or it's the first mention. And it's been a really neat study putting this together, and I pray that you benefit from it as well, looking at these things. It's just a really neat study to see how those words are used and what those words are. And so there's 22 of those type of words, the only mention in the book of Colossians. But there's also some words that it's the first time it's mentioned. And when I set out to do this, my first thought was I'm going to run out of chapters in the Bible that have an only mention or a first mention. But all the way through Revelation chapter number 22, there are words that are mentioned only one time in the King James Bible. I think in the entire study, there may be five or six. It might be a few. I don't know. It's very short when you look at the entire Bible, that I had to use a word that was mentioned for the first time and not the only time. Every other time, it was the only time that word's mentioned. So it ended up being an interesting study. So Colossae is the one and only mention of the word in that spelling found in the King James Bible. All right, so what I want to look at tonight for a few minutes is the power and authority of apostleship. So there in verse number 1, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. The apostle Paul here, we know, is writing to the church at Colossae. He says there in verse number 2, we already covered that. We already understand that he's addressing some heresy, and he's addressing some challenges to Christ and His church. And the reason why I mention that again is because Paul starts off the letter, and he starts off a lot of his letters this way, by sharing with the church the authority by which he comes. And it's important to know that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He got his authority, he got his power, he got his instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Paul starts off this way, he's letting the church know, everything I'm about to tell you, I'm telling you by the authority of God, by the risen Savior Jesus Christ, that what I'm about to tell you is true. As a preacher today, I spiritually have met the risen Savior when I got saved, and He lives in me, and I know He lives in me. But when I stand up and preach, I preach by the authority of the Word of God. And you hear preachers say that. They'll say, by the authority of the Word of God, I can say what I'm about to say. When it comes to like raising children, I know when I first started pastoring, I still have a long way to go now, I understand that. But I've been pastoring almost a total of, 11 or 12 years now. But when I first started, I was in my early 20s when I pastored in Dora, and I just had a small baby. And I would stand up and I would say, here's what the Bible says about raising children. And I'd have people come to me and they say, hey, you can't teach on that. You don't know. But the truth is, I have the authority of God's Word. And the Bible doesn't change because I haven't raised one yet. Now, if I mess up in raising my children and don't obey the Word of God, that's on me. That's not on the Bible. And when it comes to marriage, I was newly married. And I would stand up and say, here's what the Bible says about marriage. And I know there's people that say, well, you can't say anything because you've never been through. And I get that. I've learned a lot through the years. But what I've learned is the Bible's not wrong. That's what I've learned. And I've learned the times that I've stepped away from the Bible and relied on my own knowledge and my own wisdom is when I mess up. The Bible's not wrong. So Paul starts off this thing with addressing his authority for making the judgments, his authority for the conversations that he has with these churches, for the instructions that he gives. They come from the highest authority, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself through Christ. And so He has the right to say what He's about to say. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes tonight, the power and authority of apostleship. The first thing I'd like to say is Paul had a divine commission. And every time I make one of these, I know that I mess up somewhere along the line. So if y'all catch those, let me know, and I can fix it for the next time I teach it. Paul had a divine commission. You know, there's people today that are operating under the name of serving the Lord that God has never called them to do anything. They're everywhere. I mean, you've met them. You've seen them. There's pastors pastoring churches. There's people teaching the Bible that God never put His stamp of approval on, and He never gave them a commission to do what they're doing, but they're doing it anyway. Brother Charlie used to always say they're what mama called and daddy sent. And that's exactly what it is. Their mom said, my boy's going to be a preacher, or he's going to be a great Bible scholar, and daddy sent him off to school, and now he's off doing this, but doesn't have a divine commission. And it won't take you very long to find out if God's involved in what's going on. It won't. It shouldn't take you very long to say, hey, God's got His hand on this versus He doesn't have His hand on this. And Paul had a divine commission. Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And there's not going to be a lot of time to get into the ins and outs of an apostle and how they were called, but I'm going to look at it a little bit tonight in the life of Paul. But before we go any further in the book of Colossians, we're looking at the authority by which Paul spoke. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, I was mentioning this to somebody just this morning. We were talking about some Bible doctrine and things like that, and he was making a comment about Peter preaching something that he didn't really know what he was talking about, and I told that man he didn't know what he was talking about. I'll take the Bible over anybody any day. But Paul, when we just read recently in Corinthians, you remember when he made the statement, he's like, I'm not speaking from the Lord right now, I'm speaking for myself. Remember when he said that? Well, guess what? Paul's opinion, God made it Scripture. When I read it, and I've heard people look at that and they say, well, that, you know, that's not really what we're supposed to do because that's Paul's opinion. Well, guess what? God made Paul's opinion in that case Scripture. Right? Because we're reading it in the Bible. And so we can take it as Scripture. And so Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote this book, but he still knew who he was in Christ. Even though he was a prisoner, he knew who he was in Christ. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostles, they formed the highest rank. I'm leaving this zoomed in on these words here. You guys got the rest of them on your paper there. The highest rank of ministers in the early church. They were the highest rank of ministers in the early church. And that title that they had indicated a position of authority and leadership. So when you got Paul writing to the church at Colossae, who is a mainly Gentile church that's surrounded by a bunch of Jews, he starts off letting them know where his authority comes from. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 28. Paul's dealing with some of the gifts here. And some of the gifts that were given in this chapter was because there was unbelieving Jews in the church. In that church in Corinth, there were some unbelieving Jews. It was a mixed church between Jews and Gentiles, and there were some that weren't believing, so God allowed them to have some of those gifts. Some of those gifts ceased. And Paul tells that to us also. But during that transitional time, they had some of those gifts. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondary, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he continues to talk about that. But the first thing he mentions there is apostles. He puts a number on them. He said, number one, apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly, teachers, and on down the list. And it's amazing today in most churches, people would rather have a teaching preacher than a preaching preacher. Now, a pastor is supposed to be able to teach. He's supposed to be able to do those things. He's supposed to be apt to teach. But churches today, they don't want a pastor that preaches. They want a pastor that teaches. That's what they want. Keeping themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want to hear those things, but they don't want somebody to get up and preach the book. And they don't want them to get up and preach things like the Bible said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. They don't want them to get up and preach things like a woman's hair is given to her for her covering. And that young men's glory is their strength and things like that. The reason why I bring that up is it's been bothering me a whole lot lately to see young men with long hair. Everywhere I go, it's everywhere. If you have to move hair out of your eyes to do anything, it's too long. Amen? It's just too long. And the Bible says it's a shame. Nature itself teaches us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But that's a fad today. It's a fad for men to have long hair and for women to have short hair. You know what that is? It's trying to reverse. They're taking something that God's given them for glory, and they're turning it back on themselves and doing what they want to do. And so I got that out of the way. I tried to go watch a couple basketball games. So I went and watched one. Miles was playing, and then went and watched one down at Tabernacle. Almost every boy on the team had to move the hair out of their eyes so they could shoot the basketball. I said, no wonder they can't catch. They can't see anything. It's a disgrace. And I know the school I went to there in Gardendale, they're all supposed to be Christians. Amen? So a preacher needs to preach and teach. All right. The apostle is the highest rank of ministers in the early church, and that title indicated that. whenever they were an apostle of Jesus Christ, that gave them some clout. It gave them some authority. There are some people today that they're Christians only when it's convenient. You say, why do you say that? Because Paul's sitting in prison, and he still says, I am, even though I'm sitting in prison, I'm still an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'd be interesting to find out people today if they're still a follower of Jesus Christ and they're a disciple of Jesus Christ when they're in a bad situation. And I believe as the time goes on, we're talking about Colossians being the epistle of the last days. As time goes on, we're going to find out who the real Christians are, who are going to stand up for truth and stand up for right. Paul's in prison. He's in a bad situation. And there are people today that they're Christians when it's convenient. And most of the time, that's on Sundays. They will do their Christian duties on Sundays. But every other day of the week, they're going to live unto themselves and whatever pleases them. And then when it comes back to Sunday, they'll be a Christian again. They'll dress like a Christian, act like a Christian, and go through that process. The term apostle originally applied to the 12 applied to the 12 that Jesus chose. You know, it's a hard thing to live a double lifestyle, to try to keep up with that, to try to be a Christian one day and not a Christian the next day. That's a hard thing to keep up with. It'd be a whole lot easier just to be one thing all the time. What did God say in Revelation? I'd rather you be hot or cold and not lukewarm. All right, look with me in Luke chapter 6. I'm going back through the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you see some of those old Christians. Man, they stood for God no matter how hot or hard it got. They stood for God. Hear about some of these missionaries in other countries, and they're standing for God regardless of how bad it gets. And we got folks here in America that just flim-flam back and forth, and they're not going to stand for nothing. Luke chapter 6, verse number 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. How would you like your name to be in there in Scripture somewhere? And he goes, hey, he's also the one that was the traitor. And that's not a good mark to have on you. But these are the ones. Look at John chapter 6. Book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse number 67. I guess while we're on the theme tonight, look up at verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? You know why they walked away? They were offended by something Jesus said. The disciples were offended by something that Jesus had said. Then said Simon Peter, answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. And so here again he mentions that the 12. So Jesus originally had 12 apostles that he chose. Paul was not one of the original 12. He was not one of the original 12. He was not one of the original 12, nor did the disciples or Jesus while on earth choose Paul. And so he wasn't chosen by Christ during Christ's earthly ministry. He wasn't chosen by the apostles, the original 12. He wasn't chosen by any of those while they were here on the earth. Paul's apostleship was chosen by the will of God. Paul's apostleship was chosen by the will of God. Paul owed his apostleship to an experience on the Damascus Road where he had met the risen Savior, the risen Christ, face to face. All right, let's look at that in Acts chapter 9, Galatians chapter 1. He mentions those things. What we're trying to do tonight is just look at his apostleship. He's going to write a book to the church at Colossae and say he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's trying to show by what authority he's writing these things. As a child of God, we get in this Bible and we can stand for truth and stand for right. We ought to have some authority to it. We got the authority of God's Word. The more of this book we know, the more authority we can stand with and be able to preach and tell people things and help try to help folks. Acts chapter number 9. This is Paul's testimony of salvation. This is where he met the risen Savior. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings, verse number 1, and threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He was persecuting Christians. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And when the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. This was his salvation experience that he had on the Damascus Road where he met the risen Savior. That was one of the qualifications for being an apostle, was to have seen the risen Savior. And Paul, God allowed his son to be seen by Paul. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. When Paul makes a statement that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ, he has a lot to back that up with. He has seen the risen Savior. He was given instruction straight from God. Jesus Christ gave him the gospel by the grace of God, by which we're saved today. That was given to him from God. It wasn't given to him from no man. It was given to him by God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with what? Flesh and blood. The authority by which Paul spoke was from Christ and not a man. Verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Damascus was an area in Arabia at that time. And so Paul's authority did not come from a man. And there's Bible schools all over the country, they claim to be Bible schools, that they put their authority on a man and send him out, and they question the Word of God, they question the Bible, they privately interpret it, and they mess up every time when they do that. We ought to get our truth from the Word of God. There's a lot of people that have opinions. But if you get online, everybody has an opinion about every doctrine, everything. And my suggestion would be to ignore everything and read the Bible and let the Holy Spirit of God teach you. Now listen, there's men that have written books and commentaries and things that I believe are a blessing. But at the end of the day, I want to know what the Bible says. And I appreciate some of those men. I've got commentaries all in my office and I'll look at them. But at the end of the day, the authority by which I speak needs to be the Word of God. And I believe there's preachers and teachers today that get up and they teach things and they preach things because they've heard another man say it. And they don't know for sure if that's what the Bible says. And before anything comes out of our mouth, we need to know that's what the Bible says. We need to have confidence in this book. Paul's confidence, his apostleship, was directly from Christ. It was not from a man. And that's something that needs to be taken very serious in our life. When we're trying to instruct people, we need to know what the Bible says. Paul's apostleship was directly from God. I don't know if that's the right word I had there. No, his authority. I'm sorry. Paul's authority. Yeah, you wanted to get me, didn't you? I'm sorry. Yep, I got ahead. Didn't turn my paper. Paul's authority was directly from God, and his assignment was to open eyes. Look at Acts chapter 26. I have another paper up here. I'll give it to you. You can replace it. Acts chapter number 26. That would bother me too. Acts chapter number 26. All right. Acts chapter 26, verse number 16 through 18. What a tremendous responsibility Paul had. Up until God saved Paul and gave him the dispensation of the grace of God, he dispensed that to him. The gospel by which we're saved today, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. God put Israel on hold at that time. My dad did a great job in Sunday school last week talking about all that. And he had a great responsibility. He even talked about the gospel that he had as being his gospel that God gave to him to give to us. And I want to submit to you tonight that we have a great responsibility. Why did we go out and walk down the street? It wasn't to have for everybody to see us. It was an opportunity for people to stand there and let us hand them the gospel. What a great responsibility we have. What a great responsibility we have to the cashier, to the person working at the restaurant, to give them the gospel. Paul, his assignment was to open people's eyes to Christ. And we have that same responsibility today. Acts chapter 26, verse number 16 through 18. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Why? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That was Paul's assignment, and we have the same assignment today. And that's to help open people's eyes so they can see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Why are we left here? Why are we here? Magnify Christ. To lift Him up. Our life ought to lift Him up in everything that we do. It ought to magnify Him. All right, I'm gonna stop there tonight. We'll continue, Lord willing, next week on this idea of Paul's apostleship. All right, let's all stand. All right, Brother Carl, would you dismiss us in prayer?